Welcome to Trax Cultures. I'm Mike Piccinato, your host. This podcast unravels the intricacies of transitions across cultures. For those feeling the pull of change or supporting loved ones through it, this podcast is for you. We understand the uncertainty and excitement that come with such transitions, and together we'll explore how to adapt while maintaining community and belonging. Throughout our episodes, we'll draw on insights from the Cross-Cultural Transition Handbook by Dr. Stephen W. Jones. Whether you're moving to a new place or supporting someone who is, this podcast offers encouragement and connection. Enjoy the conversations as we navigate the challenges and joys of cross-cultural transitions together. This is episode 20 of Trax Cultures, season 1. This is a legacy podcast from Unterwegs, the En Route podcast, being re-released here as we build a focused channel for our conversations about transitions across cultures. The original episode was released on February 9th, 2022. I'm your host, Mike Piccinato, and I'm joined today for part 2 of this series on coping mechanisms and new beginnings by Dr. Stephen Jones.
Hello.
And by Jenny Jones.
Hey.
Great to have you guys here again today. Last week, we introduced and talked about the idea of coping mechanisms in reference to transitions, as you guys have hit this 6-month mark of being here, and began to tease the idea of new beginnings and that thread of continuity, which we'll definitely come back to later. And today, I wanted to talk a little bit more about how you guys are doing. How are you coping with being here for 6 months? What have been some good and where are you seeing good coping mechanisms develop? What were some of the in-between coping mechanisms that you were using? And where are you maybe beginning to see some of those new beginnings take shape?
Yeah.
I mean, I think part of it is thinking, like, who were we prior to transitions, the things that we enjoyed? So processing through some of that. Yeah. And thinking, who were we back then compared to where we're at right now? Yeah. For me, I enjoy creating in a couple of different ways, whether that's like with a garden or knitting, crocheting or music or, yeah, walking or going places as a family, watching movies. So it feels like there's like this whole broad range of things that you use to escape or feel better or pause reality or create space for myself. So I think that's part of it, is saying, okay, what did I enjoy? And what am I enjoying right now? And literally, the library became enjoyable just a couple weeks ago. The first time I went, it was very...
The public library.
Very overwhelming. Very like, I mean, because you had to figure out how to use the card. Because we got library cards like...
pretty early.
Yeah. But then it was like, okay, how do you use it? Where do you go? Where do I check out? And then how do I return
books?
The
one librarian has kind of a sour expression. And so it's like, I just know I'm doing this wrong, and I know I'm going to find out that I'm doing it wrong, and I'm not 100% sure that she's going to help me know how to do it right.
Well, and it's like, when we got cards there, we did interact with somebody that spoke English, but first it was the person that didn't. Then we're like, but we want to try to speak German, so it's this weird place of like, do we actually know enough to put the sentence together? Rosemary and I went just a couple of weeks ago, and it was like, oh, okay, it's familiar. The second time, I didn't have to feel like I had to ask anybody for anything, because you check out the books the same way. You scan your card and you do it yourself. You don't have to talk to the person at the desk. And they've got this really cool scanning system to return the books. And then I let myself get an English book, which I didn't the first time. And I was like, oh, this is enjoyable. That felt like the first time. And then this last Sunday, I'd done a lot of reading and then going into language. I don't know if it was connected, but it felt connected. Felt way more relaxed going into language school than I have for a while.
So that's finding a coping mechanism that you had before, reading, that you're now also able to rediscover here, even though we're talking 6 months later.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like books didn't exist.
No.
But it's capacity and where do I go to get them? And as we were preparing for the show, we talked about coping mechanisms. And again, coping is just the things that you do to handle stress.
Mm-hmm.
we talked about those coming in maybe four different categories. Maybe if you think of on a vertical line, you have aggressive and then
like a withdrawing
continuum. And then on the horizontal, you have the creating to consuming. And in all of those, our visual is much more three-dimensional. It's not like creating is good and consuming is bad. There's good consuming and bad consuming. There's good creating and bad creating. There's healthy, aggressive ways of coping, maybe jogging or doing something physical, if we think of aggressive in that way. And there's also unhealthy ways of doing that. And then there's good withdrawal, just to step back. And then there's bad withdrawal, this complete retreat.
Yeah.
And I think if we look at this really broad picture of coping, what are some ways from aggressive to withdrawing, from creating to consuming that you guys have both healthily and unhealthily coped in the last 6 months?
Yeah, I think one of the areas that is easiest is to go toward consuming and withdraw, like that corner. So, and that's where I know a few episodes ago we had talked about doom scrolling, right? Mm-hmm. Where you are stuck on Instagram or Reddit or Facebook or whatever, and you're just consuming, but in a way that's completely just to hide, actually. You know, it's kind of this numbing effect,
which is different than to recharge.
Yeah, definitely. Yep. And the same thing can happen in that same quadrant for something like food, right? So, you know, there's a good engagement with things like the amazing chocolate and the Stollen and, you know, so many
bread
good things.
And
here.
The,
oh my gosh, yeah. And cheese. Yeah, and like, yeah. But there's also this area where you can kind of hide away and just eat. That's clearly not healthy. There's like a space where maybe that's good, right? So you step back and, you know, treat yourself, you know, and like have something tasty, but that can even move toward kind of aggressive side.
Well, where you're constantly saying, I need to treat myself. And then that's all day, every day,
right?
Seven days a week.
So this is interesting. Like Jenny and I kind of go in opposite directions. So for me, I tend to become a little bit more aggressive in certain stages of coping. So I will tend to go for more walks and go exploring more, go on transit more, try to experience more. And I don't know exactly where that fits between consuming and creating. It's kind of this back and forth, I think. Like on the one hand, you're creating a new experience for yourself. And on the other hand, you're consuming the space that you're walking through. But, you know, it's that aggressive going thing. And then I think for you, it's more, you're
more withdrawing.
Yeah.
I tend to feel like, well, if I go out, I might have to interact with somebody and I don't have the space for that. I don't have the space for the unknown, as I'm thinking of the energy that it felt like it took from me to like step out the door. And even though you literally don't have to talk to anyone while you're walking or while you're on transit, the possibility was overwhelming. I'm like, inside. That's safer. Although sometimes inside didn't feel so safe because new, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. So where do I go? I don't know.
One of the interesting tensions that happens is because I am more aggressive in my response to that, right? Let's go do something. And Jenny is more withdrawing. That then leads to another round of tension because then it's like, well, why aren't you being loyal to me and my need to cope? You know? And so, and both of us are feeling that way.
Mm-hmm. And when we're like the people that know each other the best in a new place, you're like, well, don't you know this about me? We've lived together for years now. Why don't you know this?
There's a lot of tension that can be generated when the way that you want to cope is in some way challenged by the people around you. So some healthy coping, one thing we did right away is we bought a lemon tree, and we have had a citrus tree the whole time we've been married, a little patio citrus tree. And then when we moved here, we saw one on the sidewalk kind of over by your house and your apartment. And
fruit on it, which other one didn't.
Yeah. So that was a coping thing. And then now we have this thing to take care of, this lemon tree that we're helping over winter. You know,
which feels like, yeah, another level of challenge because you're like, oh, I have to take care of something else. Mm-hmm. Like, I wasn't sure. I was hesitant because I'm like, oh, but I can barely take care of my family. How do I take care of a plant?
Yeah. And on the other hand, it's like, it's this thing that is in, it's in our apartments, in our space with us. And like, there's this thing that I can be focused on and be concerned about that isn't me and isn't Jenny and isn't our kids, right? And I think we don't have a garden right now and we don't have a pet right now, but we have a lemon tree. I think one of the things that we've been really intentional about is to communicate with each other about coping and to watch especially for unhealthy coping and to use, so when we feel drawn towards unhealthy coping and unhealthy coping, you could also use the word maladaptive, something that ultimately either threatens yourself or your relationships or the things that you care about, right? You're doing something that in the short run solves a problem, but in the long run creates a bigger problem. We are pretty quick to talk with each other about that, whether it's something that we're actually doing or something that we're feeling inclined toward. And instead of being like, oh, I feel, you know, tempted to do this or to do that, isn't that terrible about me, to say, oh, I, you know, I'm feeling this inclination and I think that means I'm not okay right now, and to use it as a diagnostic. And that's been really good for us, I think, that yeah, there's this space to kind of say, I think I'm not doing okay, or you know, it seems like maybe you're not doing okay. It doesn't solve the discomfort that we're feeling, but it does give us a space to say, oh yeah, so if I'm not feeling okay, maybe there is a healthy way that I could cope.
And I mean, I think there's a sense that when you see someone else caring about you, even if it doesn't feel like caring, even if it feels more like judgment, because I think that's where it can go. When you're not in a great place, for me, it's like, oh, why are you judging me? I'm fine. But when,
I mean, this is a thing where I'll be like, I don't think you're okay. And you're like, leave me alone. Fine. I'm fine. I'm like, you're clearly not okay. It definitely feels like an intrusion.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's like, what does it mean to reframe that into like, oh, someone else is caring about me and caring about what's happening? I mean, I don't know that I've ever really thought that in the moment. But that's the attempt anyways, yeah. Right? Is to say, no, I see you and I care about you.
Part of that is also recognizing internally, I might not be okay, but I'm going to say I'm fine because I don't have the capacity to engage either. And even if I admit, yeah, you're right, I'm something's off right now. The next question is, and can we just leave it there? Because I don't want to get into why and what to do to fix it. I just,
And I think sometimes that ends up being okay. Like sometimes we just need time to doom scroll and it's not good. It's not productive. It's not life giving, but like we're just getting through and it's kind of okay. But if that becomes the whole week, that's definitely not okay.
Right.
Like then you're in this spiral that is not okay in the sense that it keeps building. I don't know. So I think that's where being able to be more open and honest with each other and in both directions, but speaking to each other and receiving from each other, that's been good.
And I think the challenging part as parents is then being like, oh, I think I see my kid coping. How do I help them do something different?
Especially
coping in an unhealthy way.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially when, yeah, if they're picking ways to cope that are really annoying to you, which definitely happens.
But then it's like, okay, do I have the capacity to help them?
And often the answer is no.
You're just like, how do I pull them out when I feel like I don't have the strength to pull or to sit or move or guide or, yeah.
That's true for us as well. By us, I mean, as the adults in the situation, we can recognize the unhealthy coping mechanisms in ourselves and still not have the capacity to find a healthy one. And I don't want this to sound like a, oh, woe is us, these intercultural transitions just make us a mess. There's just different dynamics that when people are crossing cultures, they need to recognize. And one of them is that you are going to recognize unhealthy transitions or unhealthy coping mechanisms that are a part of the process.
I think the other piece of this, because I could imagine some of our listeners saying, well, but what about faith, right? Or what about living empowered by the Spirit? And I think one of the things that's so challenging in cross-cultural transitions is that it is really, really, really normal for people who are experiencing a cross-cultural transition to also at the same time experience a dry spell in their faith, where it feels like God is very distant, or even to experience pretty massive doubt. And some of that has to do with the ways in which you've known your faith.
I mean, even to the extent of like, oh, there was this one place I used to go to have my quiet time.
Yeah, right.
That is no more.
Right.
There is the new, you have to find that new place of peace.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or, even if that's just in your house, right? Mm-hmm, like,
or the body of believers, or the cultural understanding of God that's not there,
or the radio station that you listen to, or whatever, whatever it would be, that isn't accessible. And then recognizing also, like for me, one of the issues is that the questions that the culture asks here are different than the questions that the culture asks back home. And so the faith as I've experienced it doesn't answer the questions that the culture asks here. Of course, you know, I think that the answers are there, mm-hmm. but I don't personally know them in this context yet.
And the people around you aren't asking the questions that would bring you to a more faith experience. I mean, it goes both ways.
And so there are moments that are really encouraging. Like we just recently had this worship service with people speaking Arabic, Chinese, Spanish, German, and English, right? Like, which was phenomenal. But on a daily basis, I think there's this real dryness that's normal, but it's also one of those things, it doesn't help to fake it, right? It doesn't help for me to be like, well, I'm going to do okay and not feel bad today because I'm a person of faith. Like that ultimately, I think, withers the faith. And is not actually spirit dependence. But I think probably what I'm saying sounds very strange to somebody who hasn't experienced that.
Yeah, and it's not foreign in the Bible for people just in normal experiences to write and interact honestly with the feeling of distance from God that's certainly present in the Psalms and in the prophets. And
then through church history too, right?
Yeah.
And the whole idea of the dark night of the soul, right? These times where it seems like God's felt presence is not as close.
I think if we can approach those situations with an underlining understanding that God is there and he's present, but my coping with life right now is not as simple as saying, well, Mike, just have a better quiet time with God. That's not going to solve the challenges I'm having with the overall stress. And I don't think biblically, I mean, even if you look at initial perfect relationship between God and man in the garden, there was still the work of the garden that was there for man in his daily activity. And so outside of our relationship with God, even if it was perfect, there would need to be activities that were part of how we just occupy ourselves. And part of coping and the challenges of coping is that the activities we use to occupy ourselves are no longer there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then just difficulty figuring out what to replace them with or what they should be.
Moving into a different culture gives you so many opportunities to experiment. And what I used to like woodworking, I still do, but I don't have my tools here. It's not great for an apartment. So then I was like, well, maybe I can work with leather. So one of the challenges for me was then you go to the leather shop and it's not a cheap hobby to get into. And so you know, how much money do you put into your new experimental hobby? Calligraphy is another thing I tried, which luckily is much cheaper to get into. Mm-hmm. But what are some of the things that maybe you guys have thought, well, maybe I'll try that?
Yeah, there are things that I have done in small amounts before, but haven't had a lot of space for. So photography and videos are something I've always enjoyed. Like, I mean, I remember cutting together a VHS presentation when I was in ninth grade. That's something I've always enjoyed, I mean, for a long time, but have had almost no space for. And so as we're looking for ways to communicate with people back home, I'm kind of moving into that, developing some of those skills where I've had some tools, not like
We've had the tools, but not the time. Like, yeah. Because life. Mm-hmm.
But now I have some more tools because of the nature of the work that we do here. And I have, I don't know if I have time exactly, but it's something that
your space is more flexible.
Yeah. I don't mind losing myself in doing that video production, whether it's writing a script or actually going out and shooting B-roll. That's been something that's been really fun
for me. Yeah. Just uploading it to our server.
And there's just, I don't know. I just really enjoy that. And it feels mildly productive, you know, on that creative versus consumption side. It's more on the creative side. It's sort of aggressive in the sense that I'm out doing something. Mm. And yeah, at the end of the day, my expectations for quality for what I'm producing are probably higher than anybody who's going to be consuming anything that I'm producing. And so it's kind of a little bit safe in that way. Mm. At the same time, I could totally get lost in it and not do any language work, and that'd be mm-hmm. not a good idea, right? And so even this relatively healthy, kind of safe coping space for me could become an unhealthy thing.
What about for you, Jenny?
So the thing that comes to mind right away, it's sort of a mixed bag. So I had an amazing yarn collection at home. Stephen organized it once. It was beautiful, all colors. It was great. I pull out stuff as I was inspired by projects. I'm more of an inspirational crocheter / knitter versus all right, I'm going to make this practical item, and it's more, do I feel inspired by something? So there's yarn here, and I haven't actually made it to a yarn store yet, but it's everywhere.
But
in
we
little
also
bits and
found,
pieces.
Like the ways that we're familiar to finding that, like there's not like a Hobby Lobby or Michael's.
Right. And I was thinking about that as we were talking. I'm like, yeah. I haven't asked anybody if there's a Hobby Lobby like thing. Mm-hmm. Like,
I do know some general hobby craft stores, not as big as a Hobby Lobby.
But... Right. But like, I was like, oh, I could ask, but do I want to ask? Mm-hmm. Like the struggle of that. But so I've started getting things to be like, oh, I could make things. And then I look on Pinterest, and that is a doom scrolling, like never ending.
Candy.
Yeah, like fall into the realms of all the projects that sound fun. But the one thing that I did get that I'm like, hand embroidery sort of things. I was like, oh, that's fun. And every store has this tiny craft section. I was like, okay, I'm going to learn to do a little bit, and I'm going to embroider our kid's name on the towel so he knows which towel is his, so he doesn't keep stealing our towels. This feels like a very, I'm going to do this because he needs this. I need it for him. And so I got the hoop. I got the right thread, all the needles. It sat on the shelf. And I even started doing it. I made some letters. I was looking at different stitches. And then it has literally sat on the shelf for 4 months.
That challenge is so real. Even that, I can do this, and then I don't have any of the stuff. I can buy all the stuff, and then it sits there, and then you have new stress and guilt to deal with. You have to find a coping mechanism to deal with the stress from your coping mechanism.
Yeah. More Pinterest.
Because all the things are so beautiful. I think that's the struggle is I could create something beautiful that feels good or that would bring joy, as I see it. But then balancing for me is more withdrawing in the sense of that is thinking about my energy. Mm-hmm. do I have the energy to do that? But then, balancing I feel like I have the energy to read now. So I'm it feels like a movement piece for me.
Yeah. I think one of the things that's interesting about that too is, so I'm thinking about, for me, going out and being outside is one of those things that often gives me more energy, helps me to feel better, but not when it is super gray and dark. And
the sun is shining.
The sun is shining right now. This is what made me think about it. And so often when I've gone out here, it's been good for me to move and to see things. But there's also part of me that's it needs to then cope with the reality that I didn't see the sun for the last 2 weeks, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's almost easier for you to go out at night.
Yeah, it is.
Where it's like, there's no expectation.
I don't have the expectation of the sun being out when it's dark, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm not disappointed.
So I know our time is coming short, and we had talked about the idea of talking about new beginnings. And maybe it's really important to emphasize here that for a lot of people back home, they're thinking, you guys have been there 6 months. You've got a great new start going right now. And we touched on this last week, that new beginnings take a long time. Mm-hmm. And the danger is to even look at some of these in between coping mechanisms and say, we have discovered the new us.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And maybe, but maybe not. It could be that in 2 months, you are no longer finding joy by grabbing B-roll, walking mm-hmm. around the town, and there might be something else.
Or I might need another camera.
There's always the possibility that new technology could bring joy.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think there's the freedom to keep exploring coping mechanisms with those checks that someone's in your life that can say and just ask, are you doing well?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any hints to new beginnings that you're beginning to see?
So in the fall, in an evening walk with our family, we discovered that there's a choir that practices like down the street from us. So I've toyed with the idea of writing the email to be like, hey, could I join? Music feels like this very sensitive place for me. And I'm like, oh, there's a possibility. And again, thinking about that energy and capacity, and is there a possibility, or what does that look like here? For a while, as I've like been processing, it's like, oh, that feels like it could be. And they sang English songs at Christmas. It wasn't just German, but it was German, but I've sang German before. So it's like there's these things of like, oh, it's not completely foreign, mm-hmm. even though it's foreign. So I'm like, oh, they like these glimmers of possibility that fit into me as a person, but then also like as our role here, moving in creative circles, you know, artistic, music, performance, like all of those areas. I'm like, oh, that could tick a couple of boxes that feel good.
Yeah, it's interesting. What comes to my mind is also something that would be tapping into a thread of continuity piece, a beginning that I'm looking forward to. I would say it's still future. It hasn't happened yet, but it's figuring out what it means for me to be involved in education here. And so like last night, we were doing an email, you know, trying to figure out some of the logistics of our partnership with Crown College. And that was actually really energizing for me because mm-hmm. it was like, oh, this is familiar. So kind of like it's, I haven't touched anything with academics since, gosh, well, almost, I mean, it's coming up on a year now. And that sense of, oh, I wonder what that will be like. And it's still very much a beginning that I'm looking forward to, but it's a beginning that also taps back into that, you know, who I was. Yeah, so it's interesting for both of us. I think the whole question of role deprivation, you know, and how that, mm-hmm. you know, creates those kind of achy spots. I think there's also, I mentioned this church service that we were at that you helped put together with these different cultural and linguistic groups that are in town here. And I think there's something there. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it will be, but I think that's where, you know, you mentioned like 6 months in, it feels like we should kind of already have those new beginnings. And I think the ones that will be the most important and the most lasting probably still feel future, other than mm-hmm. language, right? Language, we're very much in the process of making it be a new beginning. But I think other than that, it's, I think we're still mostly looking forward and kind of hoping for what those will be.
Good. Well, guys, thanks for being open with us and sharing again.
Yeah.
This has been a fun benchmarking experience.
Yeah.
I think as we just walk through this with you,
mm-hmm.
and I appreciate you guys sharing it with people. Well, that's the end of our interview for today. Just a quick announcement here, and that is that with the corona numbers being what they are in Berlin, it has impacted us as a team. I am sitting at home recording this outro with a positive corona test. And so I'm not sure what the recording schedule will look like for the next couple of weeks. When we're back, you'll see us show up again in your feed. A reminder that you can join us on Discord by following the link below or send us an email at podcast@envisionberlin.com. Thank you for joining us today on Tracks Cultures. If you enjoyed our conversation and want to dive deeper, we invite you to join our community on Discord. It's a space for sharing experiences, asking questions, and connecting with others who are navigating similar journeys. See the link in our show notes to become part of our growing community. Your support means the world to us. And if you'd like to help us continue our work as a creative community looking for the meeting place of faith, art, and culture, consider becoming a patron. Visit patreon.com/envisionberlin to find out how you can contribute. Until next time, keep embracing change and embodying transformative hope for humanity.